All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 70 of American Vindicta. I'm joined with my guest host, AJ, for our special edition of Two Cops and a Mic, and we are going to be talking about Red Dawn, and we're going to be sharing a couple of crazy police stories. So, AJ, thanks for being here.
Doug, thank you for having me, man. I really appreciate being welcomed back. That was a little scared after the first two episodes.
Yeah, man, but, you know, people like to hear what we have to say. They like it from the police aspect. Mm-hmm. They like it from the Christian focal lens.
Right.
But what we are talking about now really has to do with the times that we live in. And, you know, these are very biblical times.
Absolutely. Very dark times. Perilous times. The perilous times that Jesus spoke about. We're right here, man. We can just open up, look at Scripture, and see ourselves. Isn't that crazy?
Well, this is my thing. It's like, I was looking at what's happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
And the Russians left, and then they came back. And immediately, I thought of Gog and Magog.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately. And I was like, oh, my God, what was it that was put into the jaws of the Russians to drag them back in? But obviously, it's not Gog and Magog, as we believe, but this is what's interesting. We speak of Gog and Magog.
It's setting the stage, though.
Yeah, yet Russia does not recognize Israeli sovereignty over the Golan Heights, which are part of Syria, and Poliansky, who's a member of Russia, called out Israel on using the word Tel Aviv, which indicates Russia does not recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, but as a Palestinian city. So this is what's interesting. Israel said that they wanted to become a neutral ground for Ukraine and Russia to meet, but Russia's not agreeing to it.
Yeah.
So the biblical narrative, Israel is God's timepiece. I don't care how many Christians out there who are on this Zionist anti-Jewish movement crap. I'm not a part of that, not affiliated to it. Don't believe in it. You know, that is the apple of God's eye.
Absolutely.
That is God's people. You do not curse Israel and not expect a curse to come onto you.
Well, the Bible says that. When God spoke to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Actually, it says, I will bless those that bless you. I will curse those that curse you. So we better watch how we treat. We better watch how we treat Israel and these other nations. It's like you said, man, we're literally seeing biblical prophecy unfold every day right in front of our eyes. And we're right there in the middle of it. I mean, I remember years ago, I would listen to this and listen to different ones talk about the end times. And I often kind of wondered, like, how's this going to happen or how's that going to happen?
What would it look like?
And here it is right in front of us, man.
Well, you know, this is what's funny, all right? So I've been doing this whole dialogue of Red Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
Could it be something that can be more than theoretical? Could it be practically applied to America or practically applied anywhere? It is, though.
Yeah.
Red Dawn seriously is being practically applied to the people of Ukraine. The Russians paratrooped in.
Yep, they invaded.
They invaded, supposedly amphibiously. They invaded by foot.
Sea, air, and land.
Yeah. Yeah, they hit them with crypto, or not crypto, they hit them with cyber warfare.
Yep.
They're out there trying to decapitate the governmental leadership. They're telling the military to surrender your arms. 18,000 rifles have been given to civilians who may or may not know how to use them.
I saw that. In order to defend themselves. Some of them don't know how to use them.
Yeah.
Now, what does that say for the Second Amendment people, or the anti-Second Amendment people? People forget, this is one of the reasons why the Second Amendment exists. Foreign invasion. Now, it's amazing. I watched a video the other day. I watched them handing out weapons to people. And not to talk bad about the guy, I mean, you don't know what you just don't know. I watched him walk out of a police or government building with two AK-47s, holding them by the barrel, and he's walking. And a reporter says, hey, do you know how to use it? And the guy turned around, and he looked like he literally left his computer where he was either gaming or doing something, maybe selling Bitcoin. Not that anything's wrong with that. I mean, he just looked like a computer nerd. Not that anything's wrong if you're a computer nerd. We love you. We love nerds. Nerds are great people. But she asked him, do you know how to use those? And he says, well, I think I can figure it out. Now, wait a minute. He went and picked up two AK-47s. I think one was for him and one was for his wife. They're not giving out instructions on how to use it, obviously. He's walking out holding them. He says, well, I think I'll be able to figure it out. Now, some of these guys are prior military. They got militia groups forming.
Yes, yeah, so street gangs.
Street gangs. Thugs, yeah, they know monsters. How to use them. But it made me think about the entire, like the grand scheme of this. And you mentioned it on your show the other night, and you and I had talked about it. Most people don't know that Ukraine had one of the largest nuclear weapon stockpiles in Eastern Europe.
The third, yeah.
And the United States and England, I think Bill Clinton was the president then, under the, what was it, the nuclear non-proliferation treaty or deal that they were talking about. Anyway, they convinced the people of Ukraine to give up their nuclear weapons under the agreement that should they ever face Russian aggression, the U.S. and England would come to their aid. Now, we see that that ain't happening. This is why you never farm out your protection to somebody else. You are responsible for your own safety.
But NATO's not coming.
No. Well, the UN, they're not even NATO members.
The UN's not coming.
No, they're not.
And this is, you know, when we talk about the Second Amendment, when we talk about prepping, yep. Being physically prepared, mentally prepared, spiritually prepared, yep. Going and training, not just buying a bunch of crap, not just buying a bunch of cool gear, but learning how to properly use it.
Yep.
And I love people who say, oh, this is America. It'll never happen here. Man, you don't know what we know. Because in the hood, it's happening.
Absolutely it's happening. Look at Chicago.
Look at the Texas border.
Yep, that's another prime example.
You can look right across the river, and you can see firefights. You can hear mortars. You can see rockets being launched. You can see federales running from cartels. Mm-hmm. And it's right there. Right there.
People who make that dumb statement that, oh, that couldn't happen here, those are people who live outside of the hood. Those are people who do not live in the inner city, because it's happening all over the inner city. Look at New York right now. Look at Chicago, Detroit, where I'm from. I mean, but let's take New York. You know, they're on this defund the police deal. They don't allow their citizens to have weapons. But what's happening on the streets up there? Women are being attacked and raped in the subway. They're being stabbed. They're being thrown off of railway platforms.
It looks like Gotham from Batman.
They're going into people's houses and doing whatever they want to people. Now, if it can happen on a street level, why would you think it can't happen on a national
level? But then you also got the police who are harassing people for not wearing a mask,
yep.
For being inside.
Got the mask, police.
Yeah, they're you know, being inside a restaurant without, you know, your proper vaccine card.
Now, that's crazy.
Well, when you take an oath to protect your country from all enemies, foreign and domestic, I love politicians who want to grandstand and say we need to help Ukraine, we need to take out Putin, but yet our same politicians are saying that anyone that showed up for January 6th, like Lindsey Graham,
yep.
Republican Lindsey Graham said, if I had a gun, I'd be shooting them in the head. Look that quote up if you want.
You know, Lindsey Graham is, gosh, he puts his foot in his mouth all the time. I think Lindsey Graham literally licks his finger and holds it up to see which way the wind is blowing.
Years ago, Lindsey Graham and another one of the politicians who he recently passed away,
Harry Reid?
No, his daughter's also in office.
Cheney?
I can't remember which one it was, but he was in Arizona. He was a Arizona politician, but
you're talking about John McCain, are you?
John McCain, yeah. Okay. Yeah. But them two both went over to Ukraine.
Yes, they did. I forgot about
war hawking in Ukraine. They
did. It's funny, you know what? They always want us to bomb everybody. Lindsey Graham and John McCain, oh my gosh, we're always talking about Russia, Ukraine, and
they said the most corrupt government in the world is Ukraine. But yet,
yeah, there may be some truth to that, though.
Hunter Biden was paid $83,333 a month by a Ukrainian gas company to be a ceremonial figure with a powerful name, while his firm got a total of $3.4 million. That's on mailonline.com. That's not an article that we made up.
Yeah, well, it's very true, though. And they all know it. They know Hunter Biden. In fact, Joe Biden is on video talking about before he and Obama left office, he wanted some prosecutor fired that was investigating Burisma.
Yeah.
And they were looking into
He said he was going to withhold $1 billion.
Yes, and Joe Biden bragged about it. I told him that prosecutor better be gone. Then what does he say? Well, SOB. They got rid of him. He's admitting that he used coercion with the weight of the United States government. Mm-hmm. He says, I'm going to withhold your money. He interfered in their internal politics.
Mm-hmm. I'm fairly certain he broke some sort of international law.
But the funny part is he went on TV and said it, and people laughed. Nobody's investigating.
Well, who was the head of the State Department then?
Hillary Clinton was.
Hillary Clinton. Contributions by individuals of more than $50,000 to the Clinton Foundation from 1999 to 2004 by nationality of donor. All right. Ukraine, $10 million to the Clinton Foundation. England, $8.4 million to the Clinton Foundation. Saudi Arabia, $7.3 million. Germany, $6.7 million. Ireland, $6.5 million. India, $5 million. Canada, $4.5 million. Argentina, $2 million. United Arab Emirates, $1.4 million. China, $1.3 million. Greece, $1.1 million. Nigeria and Bosnia, $1 million. France, $800,000, Sri Lanka, $700,000. You mean to tell me there's not a pay for play?
Oh, absolutely there is. And you know what? Wasn't she part of a yellow cake uranium deal, Hillary Clinton? Didn't it have something to do with Ukraine?
Whenever she sold a little bit of uranium to her buddy Putin?
Okay, that was Russia. Okay.
Yeah. But Putin's a bad guy, though.
Putin's a bad guy.
That's why we got to sell him our uranium.
Yeah. And then that's why Biden gets in office and shuts down the pipeline here.
Millions of jobs lost overnight.
Immediately shuts down. It's the Dakota pipeline.
I think it was the Keystone.
Dakota. Yeah, the Keystone pipeline, which made us what? Biden inherited energy independence when he took office.
We were an exporter of oil.
Now we have to buy it from Russia. Now how stupid is that?
But once again, you talk about packing in the ideas of Red Dawn.
Yeah.
When no one can afford to get gas, when gas gets to be $7 a gallon, people can't afford to go to work. $700 a gallon is roughly $700 a week. Or $7 a gallon is roughly $700 a week based off of what I think like a 25-gallon tank, right?
Right.
Who can afford that?
I sure can.
Who can afford that? Why? We talk about weakening America. Weak men weakening America.
Yep.
Look at all the weak men around the world that are in charge of countries. Joe Biden.
Yeah.
Canada.
Justin Trudeau.
Yeah. Then you got that pansy that's out of France.
Oh, Macron.
Yeah, another socialist. Well, they all have something in common. They're tyrants. This is what we talk about, bad times making weak men at this point. And it's true, though. I don't know how many times that statement has to be said, but it's true. That is where we live right now. We live in very bad times. Yep. And it can only get worse, though.
God, I miss Trump.
Listen, dude. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. Weak men create hard times. That's where we are. But you know what always happens in between the good times and the weak men creating hard times or worse times? Is that in between that, they expect young men and women to die for their politics.
Yeah, of course.
Look at what's happening in Ukraine.
Yeah.
Think of every crazy cop story you could ever think of. How much of that can be equivalent to an invasion by Russia?
I can't think of one right now.
Do you own anything at your house that can stop a Russian tank?
No.
Do you think the average American does?
I know the average American doesn't.
So, guerrilla warfare and ingenuity is how you use practical applications to stop heavy armored professional militaries. Mm-hmm. However,
that's how we won the revolution, guerrilla attacks, largely.
But here's the problem, though. In America, men are too busy deciding which bathroom they should use or which dress they should, you know, match with their hair color.
Or deciding if they're men at all that day.
Yeah. We have become a nation of sheep.
And we're a laughingstock. Putin's laughing at
China,
us.
Yeah, China and Putin are looking at us like we are steaks on a plate.
Yeah. And actually, I've been telling my wife this for some time, but now, the last couple of days, even more so, we are ripe for an invasion. And truthfully, I believe the invasion of America has already begun. And I say that because of the border situation. You've been there. I've been there. My brother-in-law works down there on the Border Patrol. All of these males that are showing up from all over the Latin world, it's so interesting that they happen to be largely men between 18 and 41 years old.
We call those, in the military, we call those MAMs.
Yeah, MAMs.
Yeah, it was men of a fighting age, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And it absolutely is. Now, the majority of that are from Latina countries.
Yeah.
But you also have a lot of people from Arabic countries.
Yes, they are.
A lot of Chinese that are coming over.
Tons of Middle Easterners and
tons of Middle Easterners
coming through the border. And then they get flown around the country, and then from there, we don't know where they go.
But those are only the ones being caught. Here's something that people don't understand. All right, they say 2 million have crossed the border since Biden took over, all right?
2 million that they know of.
That they know of. That's only 2 million encounters. For every encounter, there's 3 that we didn't catch.
Yep, that's true.
Or more. You know, or more. I remember when I was working the El Paso sector one year. We were out there assisting El Paso, the Border Patrol out there. We get a group of 70 running across the highway over here.
Mm-hmm.
And then within a matter of 3 minutes or less, hey, there's a group of 10 that just showed up over here. A group of 5. One just showed up over here. There's a group of 100 crossing over here. And there's only like 5 or 6 dudes that are like working right then.
You know,
there's not enough people. And that's
absolutely
within,
not.
And that's within like a mile corridor.
My brother-in-law told me a story several years ago, and it really shook me. He was on the Texas-Mexico border. He wasn't, well, I won't say which sector he was in. But this particular day, and when he told me this was back when Obama was president. He was on the bridge, because he works customs, and there's he and 2 other guys. There were just 3 of them. And he told me this. He said they watched a Mexican convoy of soldiers approaching the border,
mm-hmm.
and they watched him cross the border.
Mm-hmm.
He said he got on his radio and he's calling his CO, hey, I got a convoy which looks to be more than 30 Mexican soldiers in Mexican uniform, in Mexican uniform vehicles, military vehicles, rather. And he says, okay, are they on U.S. soil? He said, yes. He said, AJ, it was me, and he named the other two guys, just three, them three. And he said the guys crossed over onto our soil with their weapons, and he told his CO, hey, they're armed. He said, order them to drop their weapons. He says, okay, there's three of us. We have no backup. Well, you will secure that area, his CO said to him. What they did was they pull a guy off the truck, his ears torn half off. He's cut up. He's bleeding all over the place. And they literally drag him.
The Mexican military did.
Yeah. They drag this unknown man up to the, I guess you could say, the turnstile.
The booths.
The booths, rather. Where my brother-in-law was. And they just threw him on the ground. And my brother-in-law says, what's this all about? The guy says, whoever was in charge of the Mexican military says, we're leaving him here. And my brother-in-law is Spanish-speaking. He's Hispanic, so... He says, wait a minute, what do you mean you're leaving him here? And they looked at him and said, we're leaving him here. They get back on their vehicle. All the soldiers with their weapons turn around and they drive out of sight back across into Mexico. That was, by anybody's estimations, an act of war. An armed military from a neighboring country drove into our across our bridge, crossed our border, and came over here, and they dropped the guy off. And I says, well, what happened with the guy? He says, well, your tax dollars paid for him to get fixed up at the hospital. What if my brother-in-law had accidentally drove into Mexico like that other Marine did a few years ago?
Oh, you know what
happened.
Sandy,
and he went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't do anything. And no. He's sitting there going, wait a minute. Are y'all seeing this? The nearest backup, I'll say where they were. They were over in the Roma sector. In Roma, Texas. That's, it's, you know where that area is. They're near, there were three of them sitting there on that bridge. The nearest backup was probably 100 miles away, and it was only maybe two or three guys.
Yeah.
How does an armed convoy of soldiers from another country cross our border and nothing happens to them?
It's because we've grown weak. We tolerate this whole degradation of tolerance in America has gone the wrong route. We tolerate evil,
yeah,
and because of that, we are not respected.
Absolutely.
But the Mexicans also know that America plays by rules. So we don't cross that border because we're afraid, for one, that they're going to immediately arrest us, take our stuff, we're going to go to prison. Prison life's going to suck in Mexico.
Yes, it is.
And it's going to take probably months for them to legislate their way to get us out of prison.
Right.
But if the Mexicans come over in their convoy, and I've seen it before. I've seen it before on the Bridge of Americas during the Pope detail.
Yeah.
Years and years ago. And they came across our bridge, and they just, you know, made the circle and went back into Mexico. But still, you didn't call us before. You didn't tell us you were coming. They had crew serve weapons mounted in their turrets of their Humvees that they're in. You know, there was no communication between either party. So could that be perceived as an act of war? Probably, possibly. But when you get so used to it, when you get so used to the Mexican military infringing upon our territory, and this is not the first time
they've done this. They've done it many times. They've been running security for the drug cartels down there.
Mm-hmm.
My brother-in-law and his crew would sit out there, and they would sit out there and watch it. Just watch them run cover for them, and these guys run over, drop dope. You know, I heard not some time ago somebody up in New York, it was some lady on some news channel that really... Oh, she just is just really tired of hearing about the border, tired of hearing about it, all thinking that it's blown out of proportion. When that lady doesn't even realize that 81% of all illegal drugs cross the U.S.-Mexico border. That's how it gets here. 10,000 children a year are sex trafficked in this country, into this country, through the Mexican border. Drug cartels, human trafficking, fentanyl is all over South Texas. and it's coming through the Mexican border. But that's the U.S.-Mexican border.
But that's not the only thing that comes through. Weapons.
Oh, no, there's weapons. They've got terrorists there. I don't understand why people don't think this is an issue. The same people up in D.C. says, oh, we're not building a wall. We're going to stop the wall. We're not going to build a wall. But then Joe Biden, just the other day, what are they doing in D.C. in preparation for his State of the Union speech?
They're going to build.
They're putting
wall.
A big wall, a big fence up. There's a fence around the White House. They had a fence around the Capitol.
I thought it was the People's House.
Yeah. You know, and they act like borders are a problem. Wait a minute. Borders work. Borders are God's idea.
Yeah, I was about to say borders are biblical.
And to keep it going, last time I checked, heaven has a wall. And there is an extreme vetting process to get in.
Yeah, that road is very narrow, though, sir.
No, very narrow. Really, the Bible says that there's a gate around heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, you can't just walk in. But the point I'm trying to make is, wait a minute. If there's a gate around heaven, why are we, I mean, gates work. Yeah, I mean, the vetting process. I mean, you can't sneak into heaven.
Let me use the Socratic method and ask you this then, to answer your question. We know that Black Lives Matter was funded by George Soros.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Antifa was funded by George Soros.
Yep.
And we know that years of terrorism in America was funded by George Soros, who gives money to Democrats.
Yep.
Who gives money to foreign banks, who also employs district attorneys and U.S. attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And why aren't they held accountable? Because everyone has money to be made by this. Why isn't the border controlled? Because there is money.
Money to be made off of human trafficking.
But it's not just money. There is power in the blood. There is power in the blood of children.
Yep.
That get brought across this border to be sacrificed.
Sacrificed to Baal and Moloch. Yep. And there is human sacrifice. Child sacrifice is going. And the reason why... I was telling somebody this, and they looked at me like they were stunned. I said, do you not understand that if American children start disappearing, somebody's looking for them? They're getting kids down on that border that are 6 years old, 5 years old, and they're from El Salvador, Nicaragua, Honduras. These kids don't even know their parents' full names. They just mom or dad. They don't even know the name of the countries they live in, and that's hard to fathom, but these people have... They don't read. They're bringing in children from small villages where there's no facial recognition technology. They definitely don't have any identifying papers. So they can easily disappear those children into these sex cults that are disgusting, that are happening. Hollywood is part of it.
I've been there on the border when these kids will come up.
Yeah.
And then someone in the country will come and sponsor them. And then those kids will go through a vetting process with CBP. Or with child services, and then they'll be taken, because I've taken them there, they'll be taken to a Red Cross or some sort of NGO who will have, and the one that we saw in El Paso had thousands of beds, and me and some of the other guys that were working the sector that day were like, what in the hell is this place?
You know, but who just sends their kids off with coyotes?
But they would rent them. They would rent their children. This one kid that we caught, he was probably 9. It was the 4th time he had been put into the database.
I don't doubt it.
So, and he was from Honduras. So the people in Honduras would rent their son to a random stranger who we know for a fact, these people that do this, these children will be abused.
Yep.
They will be left by themselves.
Exploited.
They'll be exploited. They'll be used for pornography.
Yeah.
They'll be used by pedophiles, obviously, child rape. And then the child is then somehow or another returned back to the parents, who then pimp their child out again. But
for money.
This is what happens. When you take God out of the equation, mm-hmm. This is why God originally destroyed the earth. There was violence in the world.
Absolutely.
It was violence against everything that God had created. And that violence is back in a way that, honestly, man, I don't think we could ever compare what happened previously to what's happening now. Just look, do you think that the priests of Moloch and Baal would be proud of the American abortion societies?
Oh, they would love it.
Wow.
They never were able to get rid of, 70 million children?
Oh, no. I mean, it's a genocide on black children. But people don't want to talk about that.
No, they don't want
to talk about it. Oh, no, don't.
Because it's a woman's choice.
Yeah, don't go down that road.
Yeah, it's a woman's choice.
Yeah.
The woman's choice was to either lay down or not lay down. I'm sorry, I wasn't supposed to say that, but.
Well, hey, you can be promiscuous or you can go the biblical route.
Yeah.
All right? But here's the thing. You're going to be called boring if you go the biblical route.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you're not going to be fun and going to the parties. You know what? You have a choice to make if you want to bring a life into this world. That is a covenant with God when you do that. And people don't respect it anymore. They don't respect God. They don't respect one another. They don't respect marriage. They don't respect their children.
No.
But we're taught by our own society now.
That's why you can have things that happen in the city where I'm from, like Detroit the other day. Some teenagers committed a triple homicide, and then they shot a 5-year-old boy in the face. And people go, oh, that's horrible. And it is horrible. You wonder why you have these young people that just think nothing of murdering somebody, because there's no respect for human life.
Talk about the story of the kids that that knocked over the drug dealers.
That knocked over. Okay, yeah. Oh man, it was crazy. For one, in Detroit, there was a thing that used to. The drug dealers started employing juveniles.
What age group?
Between 12, as young as 10, sometime, but usually 12 to 14, or sometime 15, because.
Talking about kids that may or may not have even hit puberty yet?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because they would have the kids run the drugs for them because they would not go to jail. They'd get a slap on the wrist. If they did go to juvenile, it would be a few months, then they'd be back out. They found that they were able to get a lot of work done by using juveniles. In fact, in the 90s, 50% of all violent felonies were done by juveniles in Detroit. 50%. Well, there was a drug house on the city's east side, actually a couple of blocks from my precinct. I used to work at the 9th precinct. Somebody got mad at the people who were selling drugs there. We get a call over there about shots fired, and we get there, and literally a woman runs out of the house. She's been shot in the face. Her teeth are literally, I'm not trying to be too gross on your show, but her teeth are falling out of her mouth because she took a bullet in the jaw. We go inside, and there's two young guys dead, and one of the officers with me knew who they were. He had had contact with them before. They were local drug dealers. So we put the information out. We panned out, and we got guys out searching the area. And one of the crews stopped a cab. He says, for some reason, there's something ain't right about this cab. And he said, what's the problem? Well, it's 11 o'clock at night on a school night, and there are these little kids in the back of the cab. They stopped the cab, said, hey, man, where are you taking these kids? Well, they called me to take them home, some story like that. So they asked all the kids to get out of the car. They were 12, they were 13 and 14-year-old boys. They look in the back seat, and they all ditched their guns under the cab's seat, the platform. You know, cab seats, some of them come out just like the rear seat of a scout car. So they put them all three in handcuffs. They actually did the shooting, and they were escaping. But they were 12, 13, and 14. Somebody hired them to go in there and murder these people. And they went and did a hit at 12, 13, and 14. Now, that's awful. But think about this. These kids, and we had discussed it before on your show, I think, no fathers, no direction.
What ethnicity were them?
Oh, they were all black. Let me tell you something, Doug. When you hear about murders happening in Detroit, Chicago, there's no white people up there doing that. Those are black people doing those crimes. I get sick to my stomach almost when I hear people talk about, oh, racism, the Klan. Ain't no Klan in Detroit, man. There is no Klan in Detroit. There is no Klan in Chicago. The Klan don't have to do anything in Detroit, Chicago. The black folks is doing the killing for them. You know what I'm saying? They're the ones doing it.
What happens? Take those same people. Desperate people. No fathers. No direction. No jobs. Opportunities. But not the just ones.
Mm-hmm.
Insert Red Dawn.
Oh my gosh, Doug, that'd be a disaster, man.
It's not just that you... And we talk about this all the time. People worry about an invasion from a foreign army or the takeover from a tyrannical government, which we kind of have like almost both going on right now, right?
You got it in New York.
Yeah, you have an invasion force coming through the border.
Mm-hmm.
You have potentially an invasion from China.
Yeah.
I'm more worried about China than I ever am about Russia.
Mm-hmm.
I could find common ground with Russians. You cannot with the Chinese.
No. They are hell-bent on world domination.
Yeah, there's no common ground with communists. Now, we're not Russian apologists here. I don't like what's happening in Ukraine.
No.
And my heart and prayers are with those people. However, take what's happening in Ukraine. Insert what's happening in America. Add in and sprinkle in the attacks from cartels, thugs, gangs. And then put yourself, the average patriotic American, trying to defend your home, trying to survive. Your power may not be running because of cyber warfare happening. That means you're not going to be able to get gas. That means you're not going to be able to go get food. That means you're on a limited time for when your refrigerator eventually can't keep anything cool anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Give it 3 days, you can't get any water. Insert crime. You have the perfect disaster.
Yep.
That the U.S. military will not dig you out of that.
No.
Just like how Biden said the U.S. military will not come and evacuate you from Ukraine whenever Russia invades, the U.S. military ain't coming to evacuate you from your own town.
Nope, nobody's coming.
They're going to be busy shoveling these idiots into the ground so that they can be, you know, prepared in their bunkers. You're going to be fighting the 12-year-old who last year was taught how to murder somebody.
Yeah.
And that child is brainwashed to thinking killing people is okay.
And you know what?
That's your child soldier.
But society is okay with killing babies. How is, you know, it's almost like this. Why would we be shocked about murder or young people getting killed or young people being used as killers when there's child soldiers in Africa, child soldiers in the Middle East,
but South America, Central America.
But we murder to the tune of nearly 70 million Americans. That means 70 million Americans never showed up to the workforce. 70 million people never made a contribution to humanity because they were murdered in the wombs of their mother.
That is more than the population of some European countries.
Spain. I don't know if I said this on your show or not, but I was telling somebody, I said this to my wife. Imagine if you woke up tomorrow and the entire nation of Spain is gone. The entire population is gone. Spain is vacant. Nobody there but animals and the wind blowing through. That's how many babies we've aborted in this country since Roe versus Wade. Nearly 70 million people. Spain has a population of 66.5 or 66.6 million people. That means the most dangerous place in America is the womb of a woman. As bad as Chicago is, as bad as Detroit is, the most dangerous place in America is the womb of a woman, where murder takes place all day, I mean, every day. And we pay for it.
And now Joe Biden is saying that he wants to move abortion clinics. I can't believe that word is used, by the way. Abortion slaughterhouses.
Well, because they want to keep federal power land. Source.
But to move it to federal land. Like what federal land? The Social Security? The IRS? The FBI compounds?
FBI's doing everything else. Be doing.
The blackout houses that you're not supposed to talk about?
Yeah. But you know what, the average lady teenage pregnant lady or teenage pregnant girl, they can't get there unless it's got to be somewhere in the city that they can reach. Like maybe a federal building that houses multiple agencies. Take a building that's got multiple agencies in it, they're going to have a federal clinic. What does that look like? The VA! The VA is a federally funded hospital, right? It's not?
No, it is. I just shake my head going, my God, there's a solution.
There it is. The VA.
Yep.
It's a medical facility.
Do you think
there's one in every major city?
Do you think this new Supreme Court justice that he got through affirmative action, by the way,
no.
Do you think she would approve it?
Oh, absolutely. That's why he picked her.
Was she pro-abortion?
I don't know much about the lady, so it may not be totally fair for me to say this. But let me just say this. If Joe Biden wants her, I'm pretty sure I don't.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment.
I mean, think about it. Everybody else he's put up there, I don't know if you've watched some of these confirmation hearings. I mean, everybody he has nominated for federal positions, and they've had Ted Cruz has gone after him, some of the others, Marco Rubio. They've been all hardcore leftist communists. Anybody that man approves, I'm pretty sure I don't want her.
I mean,
I heard today in the news that there's something troubling in her past is resurfacing, but I didn't get a chance to read all the way through it.
Did you see the guy that they got that's going to be in charge of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission?
No.
Oh my Lord. He is a trans activist, and every picture that you can find of this guy is him walking other men in latex dog suits. That's who you're putting in charge of the Nuclear Regulatory Commission. That's who you're putting in charge of nukes.
Man should be in a padded room with a box of crayons, Doug. He needs therapy. You don't put him in charge of a Nuclear Regulatory Commission.
This is why Russia and China...
That's why they're laughing.
This is why Russia took Ukraine.
Yeah.
This is why China will take Taiwan.
Yeah, they're going to move on them real soon, too. You watch.
This is why Canada turned on their own people. This is why the January 6th commission happened. And this is why God is no longer allowing America to save itself. I don't think we're savable anymore. I think we're at the rate that... AJ, if we woke up one morning and there's no power, you know what the first thing I'm going to do? Wow, it took this long?
You know what? It's a miracle that we've made it thus far. Because when you think of all the babies that have been aborted, you remember a few years ago when they busted the people from Planned Parenthood selling baby body parts?
Oh, yeah.
Birthing a baby alive and then crushing his head and smash. I'm like, come on, man. Who does that?
And
these
bragging.
Are soulless, evil people.
Bragging about it.
And I'm like,
I remember the lady who said it. She said, oh, I'm going to be able to finally afford my Ferrari or Lamborghini.
Yep, I remember her.
And if it wasn't for Project Veritas,
we wouldn't have known it.
We wouldn't have known it. That's why Project Veritas... It's like public enemy number one.
Oh, yeah, they went after them hard. But, you know what? Thank God for Project Veritas because they brought... They shed the light on. They brought exposure to these people. But you know what? Project Veritas really believed that if the public found out, that there would be outrage and that something would happen. Well, and largely it hasn't. Thank God for here in Texas, now that there's a law to stop it. But...
Well, let's look at outrage. Let's give a little synopsis, our final thoughts of what happened in Canada with the police. We talk about the difference between morality and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
Morality is doing what is right regardless of what you are told. Obedience is doing what you are told regardless of what is right.
Mm-hmm.
I still cannot get over how the... I'm not going to say majority of police, but this conglomeration of police that were in Ottawa,
mm-hmm.
and what they did to their own civilians, AJ, when I was on the specialized teams in DHS, and we deployed to Portland, and we're out there fighting Antifa, you've experienced Antifa. What we were doing was more aggressive than what the Canadian police were doing. We were using chemical weapons. We were using all types of stuff.
Yeah, but they were being violent, though.
But they were throwing Molotov cocktails at us.
They were throwing bricks.
Frozen
ice bottles, cans.
The thing that really hurts is ball bearings and slingshots.
Yeah.
Bro, that hurts bad. But that was righteous.
Right.
What happened in Canada, show me where they deserved anything related to a use of force.
They didn't. You know what, Doug? What those Canadian officers need to recognize, now I know they have a charter. I watch one of them talk about their charter. Here it's our Constitution. Well, the reason why I would not do anything like that when I was a police officer, even if I was ordered to, is I swore an oath to the Constitution, not to a politician.
Yep.
And that oath meant something to me. And those officers that are there, I think, honestly, that they're glad that, hey, now we're on, the focus is off of us. I think some of them think like, okay, they hated us, government hated us, now government wants us to do their bidding. And I know that's sick. I think it's a little bit of that. And then some of them are afraid to lose their jobs. But you know what? Like, I think some of them, the younger ones, they don't have the perspective that we have.
Well, I mean, me and you are both former cops doing something different now. And we're,
But even when I was there, I said this before, they're wanting mindless automatons. They don't want people who think for themselves.
You know, when I got out of the military? When I got out of the military and I first joined the federal government for law enforcement, I was stationed in Philadelphia. And I remember one of my commanders. Almost every new guy that was there are veterans who just recently got out of the Iraq-Afghan wars. And, you know, this was 2012. And I remember this commander he was harping on us about something very nonchalant, very stupid, just, ego boost and pounding his chest. And we told him, no, we're not going to do that. That's unconstitutional. It's dumb. We're not going to do that. It's stupid. And because, you get given orders by superiors that make no lawful sense. It's about ego.
Yeah.
And so we said, no, we're not going to do that. He said, here's the problem with all you guys. We thought whenever we hired all you veterans that you would just, do as you were told. But you argue with every single thing you're told to do. And we're like, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you...
Yeah. What did you want? Did you want a Nazi? This isn't the Hitler brown shirts, but honestly, that is what the government wants. The government wants the SS way more than they want the Patriot. The government wants the mindless robot.
That's why they're running the Patriots out of the military.
Yeah, they want the mindless robot who will shut up and pick up the gun, follow the orders, kill the innocents, throw them in the death camps, and take your pension.
And that's a scary thing, Doug. That I used to think that there would be, if something like this would happen, there would be some young military guy that says, wait a minute, remember your Constitution. But heck, half of them don't even know it.
No. They're not taught it.
Yeah, it's...
But people aren't taught the Constitution to the extent that me and you were, I'm guessing, when we were in school. They're not taught common law. They're not taught common decency.
No.
Violence is okay. Plagiarism is okay. Lying is okay. Promiscuous is okay. Once again, when you take God out of a nation, show me one godless nation that has been successful and has not murdered its population.
Well, think about what does Psalm say? The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations that forget God. That's Bible. And here we are.
Who inherits the earth?
The meek shall inherit the earth.
But it's the meek who are put under the boots of the government. That's the problem. Is you are not going to legislate evil. You're not going to how would I say this, write a constitution that can separate evil from good. It is the Bible. It is being a Christian and knowing the difference. And other than that, the only legislating evil away from good now comes out of the barrel of a gun.
Yeah.
And eventually, America is going to have a moral, ethical decision, a line in the sand of either I stand with the Constitution and with Christ, or you stand with the New World Order and the Antichrist. That's your only two decisions. I don't care how cool the hip-hop sounds. I don't care how awesome the actors looked in the movie. I don't care how motivating the political speech was or how great the uniforms looked in the military. If they align with anything outside of the biblical law or my U.S. Constitution, which it's my Bible before my Constitution,
well, the Constitution comes out of Scripture. That's why there's such an attack against the Constitution, because it is based on Scripture and based on the value that the founders put in the Scripture, the value that they had for the Word of God. So, you know, the Bible even says in Isaiah 5:20, woe unto those judges that issue unrighteous decrees. You know, the Bible also says, woe unto them that cause evil good and good evil. And we're seeing that. We're seeing that in our legislation. This is why, and I get on these pastors, you need to be teaching your people how to vote. 2 Chronicles 19:2 is a classic example. Should the righteous help the wicked and help those that hate God? A prophet said that to Jehoshaphat, and he said, because you've done that, there's wrath on you. And we're watching wrath take city after city after city after city because the people are voting for this. I heard this the other day. I think you said it. The difference between communism and socialism, one is suicide and the other one is murder.
Mm-hmm. You ever followed Dinesh D'Souza?
Yes.
He recently tweeted, yes, Putin is a thug, but he's someone else's menace, not ours. Merrick Garland, the current attorney general, poses a greater danger to your life and security than Putin.
He does.
Who is more likely to send armed thugs to your house, humiliate you in front of your family, and lock you up for months without trial? Putin or Merrick Garland?
Merrick Garland. In fact, Dinesh D'Souza got locked up for something crazy a couple of years ago.
Yeah, because he dared not fund Barack Obama. That's the thing. If you are not on the payroll, like all these, gosh, so many words I can't say.
yeah, we're on the air, Doug. You got to watch that. Don't be a potty mouth.
So many of these politicians that are on the payroll for China. Here's what's funny, is they think that eventually that's going to save them when China takes over America. Yeah. And I don't care who out there thinks that Donald Trump is like the savior for America. I like Trump.
I like Trump, but America needs God.
Yeah, Trump is not Jesus.
No, he's not.
And he shouldn't be idolized like he is. And look, I'm not against the MAGA flag or the MAGA movement. I love it all. However, there is a serious question in our hearts that needs to be answered, and it can only be answered by Christ, not by Trump.
No, right.
There's a difference that's going to be made one day in this country. And that difference is going to be, you're a Christian and you took the mark of the beast. And everyone who aligns with the vaccines at this point, hey, we were talking about racism earlier today. Isn't it strange how people turned racism and then vaccine prejudice into the same thing?
Absolutely. That is weird, isn't it? You know, the same people that are always hollering, oh, racist, racial justice. But do you have a vaccine card? And they treated people. I saw a story not long ago. I think, didn't they interrupt a little kid's birthday party or something in New York?
In New York.
Oh, my gosh. People have lost their mind in this country.
Look, I don't want to say that I agree with this, but Hillary Clinton said that Democratic voters are stupid. And that's why we should continue to play them. Because they vote for whatever they say.
Well, they believe everything they say, hook, line, and sinker. Heck, you and I know some of them. We used to work with them.
Oh, yeah. And it's dangerous because when you work where we do, and you have people in this element of power, when you're given a gun and a badge and the ability to make warrantless arrests, and then you believe the lies of a corrupt government to the T, like that person who's unvaccinated and they're, you know, they might as well be evil. Or what about the teacher recently in Texas? She got caught saying that she believes all Christians should get COVID and die because they refuse to take the injection, and it makes me sick, and now I can't go on a vacation either. This is a dividing land. It's America stands on the edge of a sword, and one way or another, you're going to get cut.
Yeah.
You're going to cut yourself off from the world, or you're going to get cut in half by staying in the world.
That's true. Man, that's a good analogy, man. I hadn't thought of that.
Thank you. You can write that down and keep it for yourself.
Can I use that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll use it on somebody else's show, though.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening. This has been Two Cops and a Mic. AJ, thank you very much for being here.
Hey, man, thanks for having me back.
We're going to try and make this a little bit of a regular show. If you like what you've heard today, please share this podcast. If you have any commentary for me or AJ, you can go to AmericanVindictaShow.com and you can send an email. I will share it with my good friend AJ, and we will talk about it and do our best to try and respond to it the next time we do this. And ladies and gentlemen, please stay prepared. We didn't get to go over any of the sponsors today. If you go to AmericanVindictaShow.com, you can see all the sponsors within our first part of our page. Please help to support our sponsors who help support this show. And God bless every one of you, and may God be with you.
Amen. God be with you.
All right, so my name's Doug Thornton.
And I'm AJ.
This is American Vindicta. We're out.
All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.